real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison includes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Here on 830 WCCO, let's say welcome back to Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, well, hola, hola.
Hola, she was in Mexico enjoying enjoying some warm weather, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was
among
way
other
warmer
things.
Than here.
Oh, welcome back. We're glad you're safe and safely ensconced in our studio.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Ready to help
Happy
our.
To be back.
Helping our. Always good to be home, though, isn't it?
It is always good to be home. You got to sleep in your own bed, you know. It just feels so good.
It feels much better. Now, I want to mention our phone number and the text number, but then you can introduce, you brought a special guest with you today.
Yes.
But before you introduce John, let me give you our phone number. This is our Smart Garden Show, and you know we tend to get busy answering your lawn and garden questions. 651-989-9226. You can start filling up those lines now. Or if you like some folks are already doing, send a text at 81807, 81807. That's kind of exciting. A new voice here.
Yeah.
Yet another one.
I brought along another turf guru, Dr. John Trappi, who is from our turf gang. And he wanted to come on the show. And
that's good.
That sounds great. And Sam was all for it. And so this is great. So, John, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I've been in Minnesota for the last 2 years or so. I'm originally from Indiana. I did my bachelor's and PhD at Purdue, so try not to hold that against me.
But, no, we won't do that.
No, we like Purdue.
But it's great to be up here in the Great White North, and I'm really liking it. So thank you very much.
Awesome. And you do a lot of questions at the state fair, and you've met an awful lot of turf homeowners. And
exactly. Yeah, I end up doing quite a bit of extension work, most of it to either turf grass professionals or homeowners.
Awesome.
Or anywhere in between.
Well, that's great, because if you have any kind of lawn, turf type questions, today is your day.
Send them over to the
man on absolutely.
My left.
Yeah, Julie is here and John is here. So lawn and garden questions all the way, the rest of this. Oh, welcome, John.
Yeah.
Thanks again for joining us.
John's going to be up at Mickman Brothers, I think, today
an
event.
Yeah, I'll be giving a talk, about an hour-long talk, up in Mickman Brothers up in Ham Lake from 11 to 12 this morning.
Today.
Awesome.
Correct. And it's just, we're going to be covering just a lawn care calendar, the basic lawn care maintenance practices.
Oh, that sounds great.
Throughout the whole growing season.
I bet we get a lot of questions about for John today.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'll just go get some coffee.
Yeah, do that. I'll join you. John, take it away.
It's all yours.
All right. Seriously, though, give us a call, especially if you do have a turf kind of a question today. We'll put John to work.
Hopefully John will be back, too.
Good.
It's always nice to have an extra turf person in the in the stable.
Besides Sam.
Besides Sam, yeah.
651-989-9226. Let's go to Roger, who's calling from Blaine, Minnesota. Go ahead, Roger. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I kind of have three questions, but two pertain to trimming maple trees and flowering crabapple trees.
All righty. Go ahead.
Okay, can I trim the maple trees now, or should I wait till after they've have leafed out?
You can trim them now. They'll get a little sappy when you trim them, but that's just fine. Don't worry.
Okay, when you say now, how late? Another couple weeks or a week or roughly?
Well, pruning when the trees are still dormant is a good idea.
Okay.
But maples are a little more forgiving. It's just that the sap starts running, so people get a little worried about that.
Yeah,
but
I'm not worried
normal.
About that.
Okay.
And then on the flowering crabapple trees, wait, say, a week or two after they're done blooming?
No, no. Apple trees are different. So crabs and also production apples, you're going to want to prune now.
Oh, okay.
Yep,
okay.
This is the time to prune them.
Okay. And then little Princess Spireas, they're probably about 14, 15 years old. Can I cut them down now to be only about 6 or 8 inches tall?
So remind me, are those spring blooming? Do they bloom early in the season?
No.
Okay, they're summer. Okay, so yes, you can cut them down now. That's fine. Yep, they're going to bloom on new wood, so whatever new wood emerges.
Yeah, they bloom in July or August someplace in there.
You can cut them down now.
Down to about 6 or 8 inches from the ground.
That would be fine.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, you bet.
Weekend.
Roger, thank you, Roger. Roger had a threefer
there.
It's a threefer.
Great
minds think alike. 651-989-9226. Ken is calling from Egan. Maybe John can feel this one. Go ahead, Ken.
Hi, yeah. I had a question about a couple of years ago, I had summer patch in my yard. I had a new yard put in 2014, and 2 years ago I got summer patch, and I figure out it was because I was watering too much. And but it just seems like it just never really came out of it. Last year I cut the watering way down, and you know, the yard was great in the spring, but then over time it just kind of, those same spots kind of redeveloped again. Should I be putting down a fungus or something?
Hi, Ken. For your turf species, did you put down, or did you end up having like a Kentucky bluegrass installed, like a Kentucky bluegrass sod?
I don't know. It was Wagner sod is who I used.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Summer patch typically is a pathogen for high fertility, and one of the other issues is excessive moisture that can be prone to that environment. You did the right thing by trying to back off the irrigation, or you know, just trying to let it dry out a little bit. I would consider also backing off on the nitrogen, and that might help. Typically, summer patches, because it's a soil-borne pathogen, it's tough to get it out of the soil. So you may end up having to, it may in fact just be there. So you could apply. There are some fungicides available, but. Typically, in a home lawn situation, it's more or less a cultural problem, and you can remedy that by backing off the nitrogen.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ken. 651-989-9226. If a text is easier, 81807. We're going to grab some text messages in a moment, but Gene in South St. Paul is on the line. Go ahead, Gene. Thank you.
Yeah, I have clematis over my arbor, and now I have, because it's winter, all the little brown dead leaves.
Yep.
Do I have to pull them all off, or should I pull all that old stem stuff off down to the ground? Or?
Well, it depends on what kind of clematis you have. There's clematis that bloom on new wood that emerges from the ground every year. And there's clematis that bloom on old wood, which is the existing stems, like the ones that you see on your arbor. So depending on which one. You know, if you see new growth that comes up from the ground every year, then okay. So have you pruned it off before?
Yeah, I cut it way down 1 year, but it looks so nice and full. I hate to do that, but I can.
Okay, so then you can prune off a little bit. Like if the old leaves are there, they'll probably fall off once we get some spring, you know, rain and some spring breezes and things. So they'll probably fall off, but you could go out and like just ruffle them a little bit and they would fall to the ground then.
We want them off of there, in other words.
They'll fall off on their own. So you don't have to worry about them being there the whole summer or anything.
All right, very good. You know, we have to take a break, guys, so hang on. I want to remind our listeners that our Smart Garden Show is brought to us every week by our good friends at By the Yard Outdoor Furniture. We'll talk about that great product or products coming up in a moment or two. Overcast, our temperature reading here in the Twin Cities, 29. We're heading for 39 later today. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Well, as usual, we have a lot of callers and a lot of texters, Julie and John. Let's get to it. For those, maybe Julie, that just joined us, you brought yet another helper today.
Yeah, Dr. John Trappi. He's one of our turf experts in Extension and at the U. And he, just does a great job. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're glad you're here.
And we are getting
a lot of questions over here,
indeed.
And I'm glad I don't have to answer
All right.
Today.
Well, we'll get put John to work here. Let's see who has been waiting. Bill is calling from Burnsville with a question. Bill, thank you, and go ahead.
Well, good morning. I'm in Burnsville. I have a suburban lot, probably a decent topsoil with some clay underneath, but not a lot of sand. My question is this. Back in the corner of our lot, we had three large pine trees. Pine trees drop their needles. That becomes acidic. Those trees, all but one of them, are now gone. And put some new black dirt on top of that, but I think I failed to not include enough lime. And so I was curious what the proper ratio and what else would be. I just want to start seed versus sod.
And what's the deal with the lime? We've talked about that that issue before. Is that even necessary around here?
So, hi, Ken. Hi, Bill. Bill, lime is, you're definitely on the right track there as far as trying to adjust the soil pH, because some evergreen trees, like you had mentioned, can lower the pH of the soil. The pine needles themselves can. So lime often is used to raise the pH of the soil. So the first question I'd probably ask is if you've done any types of soil testing in that immediate area, and then how that compares to the rest of the lawn. It sounds like you're observing some kind of differences or some kind of effect from the pH, and that's why you were trying to add the lime. Have you conducted any soil tests?
To answer your question, Doctor, I can walk over 20 feet to the west and where the trees, and never was there a pine tree there. And I have a pretty decent lawn just naturally. And
Have you had the soil tested?
No, I have not.
Okay,
that would be a good idea.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah, I'd absolutely recommend doing a soil test in the area that you think is a problem, and then also in the area where you think that you have an excellent lawn. So, because right now we could talk about recommendations and things like that, but you may not, adding more lime may not actually really benefit anything if the soil pH hasn't really been negatively affected.
Julie, how does one get soil tested?
So we have a soil test lab at the U of M, Bill, that you can get a sample, and you can just go to the soil test. Just Google Soil Test Lab, U of M, and they'll give you all the instructions on how to take a sample and how to send it in. And I think, John, it's $17 per sample, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. That's it, Bill. That's a good idea.
Yeah, start with that.
If you're just joining us, we were talking lawns and gardens specifically. I shouldn't say specifically, but especially since John is with us.
Yeah.
We're talking turf today. If you have a turf type question.
Doc Trappi.
Yeah, Doc Trappi is
Doc
with
John.
Us. Dr. John.
Dr. John.
I used to love to hear Dr. John sing. Tim in Minnetonka
different
is
guy,
next
maybe.
Up. Different guy, yeah. Hi, Tim. What's your question, please?
Good morning, Tim. My question is about the use of organic-based lawn fertilizers versus more traditional, the organic being using corn gluten meal for pre-emergent and iron for weed control. Is using a traditional, and I'll just say like a Scotts brand system, is that significantly, or is it really that much more dangerous to the environment?
Thank you very much for your question, Tim. That's a great question. When we talk about dangers to the environment, I think the most important thing there is how each product is used, because even something like an organic that you were referring to can be applied improperly. So how exactly they're used, it can play a dramatic effect there. With that said, synthetic or what you had referred to, like traditional fertilizers that you might be able to pick up in, you know, make big box stores or home and garden centers, if those applied correctly, with using best management practices, there can be or there should be a very limited effect to the environment from that, as long as they're applied correctly. So from a safety standpoint, the question is just depends on how they're actually applied.
Okay.
So in other words, read the label.
Right? Yeah, always correct. A good idea.
And we do have we have extension publications on our website, turf.umn.edu, that have best practices for fertilizing lawns or any other type of turf area, whether you're using a synthetic product or an organic product.
Okay.
Awesome.
I know we have to pick up on text messages, so we'll do that.
We have a bunch of those, too.
We do have that, but we folks have been waiting on the line. We want to help them out,
yeah.
Too. How about Tim, who's calling from Alex, Alec, as some people say. Tim, what's your question, please?
Hey, just a quick one. I've got a number of box elder trees in my yard. Just wondering, as far as trimming those back now, is this the time to be doing that?
Yeah, you can trim the box elders. They're actually in the maple family, so they're going to bleed as well. Bleed, quote unquote. They're going to run some sap, but yeah, you can certainly trim them now.
Okay, good. Thank you, Tim. Chris is calling from Brooklyn Park, I believe. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. What's your question, please?
Quick question. I bought a bag of Scott's Halt crabgrass. For pre-emerging, is it too early to do that? It's a granular.
Yeah, Chris. As far as right now goes, it's currently this week. It is typically what you want to do is crabgrass seedlings are going to start germinating right around the time forsythia are blooming. So, I would recommend probably wait until the ground thaws, but. But you have up until forsythias are blooming or sometimes even right before the red buds begin to bloom. So I'd look at probably the first or second weekend of April is a more ideal time for a crabgrass preventer.
I know we have to break here, but Tom in Lakeville, I think, has maybe a follow-up question about a soil test. What is your question, Tom? Good morning.
In my backyard, the middle is low. And so when it rains, all the water sits in the middle. I'm wondering if I just put soil, black dirt in the middle and taper it out to my, the outside, so it can drain off. Can I just seed that, or do I need to take the sod off the yard in order to put the black dirt, or what would be the best way of doing that?
Hey Tom, I would. I guess it kind of depends on how much of an elevation change it is. If it's only a couple of inches, if you're only adding a few inches of topsoil, you can probably change the way that way the water runs off the surface. But if it's meant to be a natural collection area, you may have to look at rerouting that water. But as far as whether or not you can seed into that, I suppose it depends on how deep that is.
Yeah, I think one thing I would recommend too is, depending on how deep it is to strip off the sod, and then to till in some soil. Till in compost to it probably would be fine, and that would break up some compaction too that may have happened with the water settling in there over time. And then you could do a reseeding over that space. You don't want to just dump soil on top of it because it's going to create this layering effect. So you want to really get that sod off of there and then till in some compost. You could add a little bit of topsoil to it, but that would actually make a pretty nice growing area. And then seeding would be best, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. Tell you what, when we come back after the break, we have another half hour of the show to go. We'll pick up on your text messages. We haven't done that yet. 81807, 81807. I was just thinking as we head to this break, and we'll be back with Dr. Julie and Dr. John.
Not I, doctor.
Well, I just promoted you.
I'm not a doctor.
I just promoted you. You see, they wouldn't have known now.
But nice.
29 degrees in the Twin Cities. We'll have a look at weather coming up. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Lawn and Garden Show. We call it Smart Garden, and we're around every week thanks to the good friends at By the Yard Outdoor Furniture that sponsored this show.
We should mention the website.
Well, let's do that.
Okay.
And so it is?
It is extension.umn.edu. Click on the Garden tab, go to Yard and Garden, and visit the Yard and Garden news blog, because we have some awesome videos on pruning apple trees. The guy who called the gentleman who called about the crab apple. Also, we've got, they're actually pruning the eating apples, the production apples. It's a video. Our communications specialist, Gail Hudson, is doing some awesome stuff with people. And there's also some really great articles. Michelle Grabowski has one on pruning oak trees. We're running up to to April 1st. No more pruning oak trees until after June. We have oak wilt, as many do. And you don't want to prune your oak trees between April 1st and the end of June. So read that article. And then also there's a really good article on seed catalog decoding that Michelle wrote with Annie Claude, who's our new vegetable educator. And it's a great article. So if you've read these catalogs, and you're like, I don't know what it means. That's a great thing to look at.
How do we find this now again?
It's on extension.umn.edu. And if you go to the garden tab and scroll down, you'll see our postings there on the Yard and Garden page.
And as you know, that we get joined by folks, listeners, a little bit late than the starter. And who did you bring with you today?
So Dr. John Trappi's here. He's in our turf group. And you guys have a great website too, don't you?
Yes. Turf.umn.edu is our for turf specific information.
Well, I'll be looking at that later.
Yeah. And there's some great videos, I think. Didn't Sam do some videos? You did too.
Yes. Yeah. We have some videos on for basically all lawn care maintenance, but typically there we have some on best management practices for cultural practices, or
I watch those a lot,
Just things like IPM or integrated pest management videos on things like that.
Perfect. Right.
So if you do have a lawn or garden question today, now is your chance. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. As I said before the break, we need to catch up on some text messages. Let's do it.
Let her rip.
I overwintered some strawberries and dwarf blueberries in containers in my unheated garage. When are the temps safe to set them back outside, do you
think? Boy, not yet. You may want to, kind of depending on how big the containers are, if you have a sunny, like if you have a walkout basement with a sunny window there, you know, if the sliding door is sunny, that's a great place to actually put them. I'm thinking of my mom and dad's house, which they have a nice easterly window that gets a lot of sun. But that would be a good thing to do pretty soon here and start watering those. I hope they made it. You said an unheated garage. They may have frozen. But you can always, I think it's always great to give it a try if you've got them in containers. But you could take them out now, put them in a sunny window, and start watering them.
Kind of a similar situation, Julie, with this. Last fall, I planted tulip bulbs in two large plastic pots. They spent the winter in unheated garage and dark garage. Now they're coming up.
Oh,
they're about 2 inches high.
Awesome.
Is it too soon to put them outside?
Yeah, you don't want to put anything out until after the freeze, you know, after our last frost date, I should say.
Because they're in the Little Falls
area. Around May 20th.
Yeah, that's
and Little Falls might be a little bit later than that. So you definitely want to be careful with those, and you're going to have to acclimate them little by little to get them, to kind of – you know, not really harden them off, but kind of warm them up in a way. So,
Julie, it says, was there any creeping Charlie where you were vacationing?
I saw no creeping Charlie the past 10 days.
Well, in case we didn't get a question, there's at least the phrase.
There's the one creeping Charlie. Wise guy.
If you want to send a text, it's 81807. Here's another one, Julie. What is the best tomato plant for Minnesota?
That is a very personal decision. There are a lot of great tomato plants, and I think what you want to look for is, first of all, what kind of tomato you want. We have cherry tomatoes, and we have small or a little bit larger cherry tomatoes, kind of mid-size. We have slicing tomatoes. We have Roma tomatoes. They all have different kinds of purposes. So whatever kind you want. And then I would look for a disease-resistant variety. And that would be on the back package, or it'll be on the grower's website as well. And then also if you want a determinate or indeterminate. Also, if you want heirloom or a hybrid, hybrid tend to produce more. Heirloom are some really delicious. They're all great tomatoes. And then if they, how long, you know, till you want fruit? That's the other thing. Determinate vines will produce kind of over a couple of weeks. So, and that's great if you're a canner. Indeterminate vines, and a lot of cherry tomatoes are these, is they will produce and produce and produce until basically frost. So it's really very, very subjective, but there are a lot of great tomatoes. Look for those disease-resistant varieties, though, because a lot of people get upset about late and early blight and septoria leaf spot. And, well, you know, look for those that are resistant to that if that really bothers you.
And they taste so good.
So good, yeah. Yes. Boy.
This is one for Dr. John, I believe. Just built a new home in southwest Minnesota. Need to reseed the entire lawn. What's the best type of grass to put in there? There are only a few trees, texter says. Are there a lot of variables there depending on the soil? And what would you recommend, Dr.
John? There's obviously many different options that you could go with. Two of the most commonly used turf grass species, or three of the most commonly used turf grass species, are Kentucky bluegrass. That's one that is by far the most planted. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the best for you. It sounds like you have few trees, which is great for growing grass. So, so you could plant Kentucky bluegrass, tall fescue. The fine fescues is something that we've been promoting from a lower mowing requirement, lower nitrogen requirement. And they also have higher shade tolerance, but those end up being among the most commonly planted turf grass species. We have an extension publication on our website on selecting the right turf grass species. So if you have any more questions or more details that you could get into the right turf grass for you as far as what you're looking for, I would definitely check that out.
And as far as folks around this area, you're going to be speaking today, right? Tell us when and where.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to be giving a talk at Mickman Brothers Nurseries in Ham Lake, and I'll be giving that talk at 11 a.m. this morning. It's going to be about an hour, maybe just slightly over, and we're going to be talking about just lawn care practices throughout the growing season. So we're looking at a lawn care calendar, so the ideal practices for the right time of the year starting in the season.
I know we've had a calendar for a while on our website, and that is something I've kept it in my book to tell people and really referred people to it because I think it's kind of baffling. There's so many things that you can do to a lawn and when's the best time. But most of it is in the fall that we actually recommend, I think.
In most cases, you know, everybody gets all cooped up in the wintertime and they get super excited to be out working in the spring. And in some cases, you can actually end up trying to do too much too early in the springtime. So, but the fall is by far, you just want to basically be doing the cultural practices that you want to do for your lawn. It's better to set it up for the next year. And you want to do that when the grass is actively growing and it's growing the best in that early fall time frame.
Very good.
Speaking
of which, same question, though I know we have to take a quick break. When do you aerate and when do you dethatch? What's time of year if you need to do both?
So aerification or aeration is typically used to relieve soil compaction and to a lesser extent to remove or to relieve thatch in the lawn. You want to do that when the plant is actively growing, but not... The best time to do that is in the early fall, where it can still recover before the winter. You can aerate in the springtime, but just make sure that you don't do it too early. That you know the ground is obviously still frozen, and you don't want to do it right before some really hot or dry weather because you may stress it out in that point.
And aren't there more weed seeds that are active in the spring too?
Yes, that is definitely a concern. That's why we. Primarily, the preferred time to do that is in the sometime in middle to late August would be a great time for, you know, pretty much anywhere in Minnesota.
Very good. I'll tell you, before we break, Margaret in St. Paul has a question. Margaret, what is your question for our guest?
Good morning. I tuned in a little late. You might have already talked about the dreaded Creeping Charlie.
Not yet.
It has taken over my front yard. Uh-oh. I mean, it's invaded. I've been in the same house for 20 years, and it's just gotten worse and worse. And I am a widow, so I've kind of put it off to the side, and now it's just like, okay, this is getting ridiculous.
All right, how can Margaret get rid of all green. That creeping Charlie?
And it's probably maybe a job for a professional. I don't know.
Well, it's taken over the whole yard, it sounds like.
Yeah, so creeping Charlie, if typically the first thing with any type of weed is you want to basically try to figure out why that weed is there. So because mm-hmm. we could effectively recommend a chemical or something to try to remove it. And if you don't fix that underlying problem, you'll just get it back in a couple of years. So creeping Charlie is typically an indication of excessive shade and or excessive moisture. So think about trying to thin out the shade or try to either, you know, fix that excessive moisture. But there are some chemicals. Triclopyr is an active ingredient. It's off patent. It's in many different products. It's pretty much the only one that'll work on ground ivy or creeping Charlie, which are the same weed species. So you can definitely find lots of different products that are available to the homeowner. But regardless, it's going to take several applications is what it sounds like for your particular situation.
Do you think it might be a good idea for her to call in a professional maybe?
Yeah, if it's
a huge job.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
in some cases it because it is sequential applications, it's going to require sequential applications in order to actually control it. That's something that I would recommend. And they're probably going to also recommend fertilizing to try to allow the lawn to be healthier to defend against the weeds the next time it's going to next time.
Oh, yeah. And then have to reseed and
correct. You may or may not depending on how much turf is actually there. So,
all right, wow. We need
Good
to take
luck.
A break. And thank you, Margaret. We'll take this break and be back on the other side. This show, of course, Smart Garden Show on CCO, brought to us by the Yard Outdoor Furniture. Right now, it's overcast in the Twin Cities. Temperature reading at 29 degrees. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Smart Garden here on 830 WCCO. Julie Weisenhorn in studio with Dr. John Trappi helping us out with your lawn
Dr.
questions.
John.
Yes. let's see. We have a couple of those. We have others as well. And tell you what, I know we have a lot of text messages. Let's see if we can't pick off a few here. We have some. Texter says, dwarf burning bushes that aren't very dwarf-like anymore. Is it okay to bring them down to a shorter size? Now they seem pretty tough even after the rabbits have feasted on them.
Yes, you can prune those down. And, yeah, the rabbits do really like the Euonymus elatus. That's the Latin name for burning bush, brightly colored bush. Bring it down and then fence it from the rabbits.
Some
It'll
folks
fill in. You won't be able to see the fence.
Julie, some folks can't wait to see Julie's band. When and where is the next gig?
We have got a gig coming up. It's not till May 11th. It's out at the Wayzata Brew Works. A couple of hours. Me and it'll be about four of us, I think, playing.
Excellent.
Not the whole gang, but most of us.
We'll remind folks as we get closer. Texter says this, moss. What chemicals or fertilizers can I put down to make my lawn healthier?
Moss is the problem. So I would just remove moss as an indication of excessive shade and moisture. The first thing I would do is look at remedying that. But there are some products available. I believe one of the trade names is Quicksilver for moss, but otherwise it's almost exclusively a cultural problem of removing excessive shade and moisture.
Mm-hmm. Very
Trying
good.
To grow grass where you don't want to grow grass.
I had a couple of trees, Texter says, cut down in my yard and now have sawdust all over. Will it hurt my lawn? Should I vacuum it up? What do you think about sawdust from trees that were cut down?
Just rake it in?
Yeah, spread it out.
Spread it out.
Yeah, a leaf blower would probably work a little
bit.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
All right. Texter says, I think a deer scraped some bark off my blaze maple. No grooves. I wrapped the area for winter. Now unwrapped it. Any additional treatment needed, do you think?
Not at this point. Hopefully they didn't. It just scraped a little bit of the bark off. But, there's nothing really to do about it. So keep the tree healthy. Water it. Make sure it gets enough water this year if we have a dry spring.
Okay.
Protect it next year.
We were talking about soil sample earlier in the show. How long, a texter says, will it typically take to get a soil sample analysis back from the lab?
It depends on how busy the lab is. And this is getting to be a really busy time. People are eagerly getting out there and digging under the snow. They also get a lot of samples from farmers, too. So bear that in mind. But a couple of weeks, maybe?
Correct.
Something like that? Okay. Donna is calling from Burnsville with a story, I think. Donna, what is your story?
We have a shaded backyard, just a tiny little backyard. And so I wanted to plant ground cover out there. And I love Swedish ivy, so I thought, I'll plant Creeping Charlie. So I went to Bachman's and said, you know, I'm looking for a ground cover and I want to have Creeping Charlie. Oh, they were really offended. We don't sell weeds. So as I was leaving, one of the people who works there came and said, I have lots of Creeping Charlie. You come over to my house and I will give you some. And so I did.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It was wonderful back there as long as I kept it watered.
So here's
your neighbors loved you on that one.
I bet. A proponent of Creeping Charlie.
That's a great story.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. How about that? Let's see. We've got the textures here.
Every
here's
plant
one
that has its right place, you know.
Maybe you can help me out here. What's the difference between a Scotts fertilizer where all the granules are the same and they don't show the three numbers on the bag and other fertilizers where all the granules look different? And they do show the three numbers on the bag. First of all, what are the I know it, but what are the three numbers?
So the three numbers. The first one is the percent nitrogen in the bag. The second number is percent plant available P2O5, and the third number is the percentage of soluble K2O. So nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium is what you're looking at there. And the differences in colors from those granulars, try not to pay too much attention to that because that can really vary from manufacturer to manufacturer and the source of the product. So typically, if you're fertilizing a lawn, you should be looking at a product that has a nitrogen and potassium. And unless you're establishing a lawn from seed in this current year, you can't be applying phosphorus because of the Minnesota phosphorus law. In general, you're going to be looking for something that is like a 25-0-10, for example, for like a typical lawn fertilizer.
Texter says, ants. My neighbor treated their grass for ants, and now I have an ant population in my yard many times more than ever. What can that person do about that?
That is a very good question.
I know you're not an entomologist.
We have a publication on ants, I think lawns, too.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember.
It's not a typical lawn problem, but it sounds like maybe they just migrated away from the problem.
They just said, let's move next door.
Well, didn't you? I don't know if it was you, Julie, or some other one of your colleagues that, because this happened in my lawn where it was like a certain area, a couple of,
right,
that were infested.
I wonder if that part of the lawn has got a little bit different soil for some
maybe.
Reason. It's a sandier soil. They're not going to necessarily be in a clay soil or heavy soil. So maybe taking that area first, you could treat for the ants. That's one thing. Mm. And we do have a publication on ants. And then you could probably mix in some compost and amend that soil. And you might find it's just a core of sand for some reason right there.
I was almost positive that I've learned this because I wouldn't have done this on my own. Now, if you're an ant lover, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I took the boiling water.
Oh,
and went
yes,
out there, and
yeah.
Is that true? I mean, and it
once,
worked. I'll
I did
tell
that,
you that
once with bees that were
it
years and years
work.
Ago. There were actually ground hornets, and we did that,
and it worked.
Yeah, and you have to do it at night when they're all in the nest.
We have a little bit less than a minute to go. Dr. John, it's been a pleasure. Hope to see you back in studio again.
Absolutely.
You're welcome anytime.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having
thank
me.
You.
Well, he'll be back,
and you're going to be speaking again when and where?
At Mickman Brothers Nursery. It's up in.
Hamlick?
Hamlick. And I'll be doing that from 11 to 12 this morning.
Today. All right.
Awesome.
Good.
Go we'll see him there.
And Julie, are you going to be back next week?
Geez, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll find out. we'll surprise you.
I can't remember.
Give us the website again.
Visit the Extension website. It's extension.umn.edu. And go to click on Garden, go to Yard and Garden. And we've got some awesome new videos on apple pruning. So if you have an apple tree in your yard, check it out before you get out there with your saw.
Excellent.
And do it fast.
Good deal. Thank you, guys.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do one.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to HomeServe.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's HomeServe.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price void in Florida.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.